Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words of this wonderful song. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28 and reading through verse 35. John chapter 8, verse 28, Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, so I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage. To any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's give thanks for these words. It's what we need today, in the church to be revived in it, in the world to be awakened and saved by this message and by this Savior and in His way. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We give thanks in His name for all that has been given. Thy giving Him, He giving Himself to be willingly offered up in our stead, becoming sin for us, dying on that cross, but also rising again. And Father, we pray that we might know this gospel, that we might know it not just in the letter, not just as a historic fact, not even as these people here seem to hear it, and when they hear it, we read they believed on the Lord Jesus, but were in bondage, and showed it, and proved it. And we pray that Thou would give us understanding of this word, both in the way of repentance and the way of faith, the way of learning of Thee, the only true God, learning of Christ, Thy Son, and learning of ourselves as well, that we might know that we are in bondage. And as, Lord Jesus, You said, everyone that sins is a servant of sin. And we confess, Father, that we are that, and we pray that we might know it to its full extent, that we might know it in such a way that we will repent in the church, and that we have revival in the church, both of a knowledge of sin and the wonderful knowledge of forgiveness of sins. And that we want to hear, as was sung, that story of Thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for that gospel soon to be sent to those that have never yet heard it, that laborers might be called and sent into every nation, every tongue, every tribe, as Thou hast commanded, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, all in Thy name. We pray, Father, for more laborers to be called in both our nation and throughout the world. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs, the many that are in hunger, homeless, those that are being persecuted, those that are in sickness and injury. We pray for our homes, and especially the broken homes and the children in those homes. We pray for every other need that there is. And we pray, Father, that where there is war, that the message of the gospel might come and bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all through Thy name. Amen. As we look at this once again, it is a very important message that we need to hear, need to understand. It is a message that is, I'm afraid, often not thought of. Both the message of the gospel to be believed, but also as the Lord Jesus said, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Many do not believe the gospel. Many do not believe that Christ is the Son of God. Many religious people, even claiming to know God, the Creator, but not knowing His Son, even as Paul says, by whom He created the world. And they deny that. And there are those who deny that He died. There are those that would say He was a prophet, He was a good man, He taught good things, but many religious people, that some would say we have these different religions together, and we all serve one God, but there's only one way to truly come back to God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Here He calls Himself, in verse 28, the Son of Man. But He also said, He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. He says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He. And different places that He has said, I and the Father are one, both before this and after. We need to know that. And those religions, as they are called, religious people, that do not acknowledge that, have no right relationship with God. None. And that has to be made known. That has to be acknowledged by those who are wrong. Some looking for the Messiah, some substituting others in His place and saying that the Lord Jesus was a former prophet and now there's another. We need to discern between that and God's truth. The Lord Jesus, as the Lord Jesus said earlier, also about speaking about lifted up, when He spoke to Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3, He stated to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. That is, as Paul said, and as we mentioned it last week and 2 weeks ago, as Paul spoke to the Corinthians and said, I preached unto you the gospel by which you are saved, unless you have believed in vain. And then he went on to say what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. God's Word, the Scripture. Christ was buried. Christ rose again according to the Scripture. The Scripture is written both before Christ was on earth, the prophecies concerning Him, the promises given to Adam, to Abraham, David, Isaiah wrote of Christ. All of that is the gospel according to the Scripture. The Scripture has been given. It's God's Word. And it is true, as the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Some want to say that this Bible that we have is corrupted. It isn't true. It's been changed. Men have tried to change it, imitate it, write something instead of it, but the word is still there. And you either will hear it and believe it and know through it the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, or as the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. It's that plain. It's that only one gospel, one Savior, one Son of God, the only true God who gave His Son. But all of that is implied here. And yet, Christ said, they must continue in the Word. On the one hand, continue is stay with it. Don't let it go. Don't go away from it. Don't forget. But I think on the other hand, to continue is to learn more. To learn the whole message. To follow on to hear what else God has to say. And I think that is probably the implication here, when after he spake these words, basically, the gospel, he being lifted up, they believed on him, then he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, then you're learners. So it's evidently something more that they had to learn. And there is that which all of us have to learn, not only about God, not only about Christ. We do have to learn in the right way. And when we do learn in the right way, we are also ready to learn about ourselves. We are ready to learn that we are sinners. We're ready to learn that the Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here was the problem with these people. When Christ said, if you continue in the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They said, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage to any man. They were in bondage to themselves. They were in bondage to their neighbor. They didn't love their neighbor. They came short of that. But especially, they were in bondage to God. They had not loved God. They had not obeyed God. And when they said, we were never in bondage, how sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They said they were free, but they were sinners. They were servants, servants to sin. But also, as the Lord Jesus would say a little bit later, they were of their father, the devil. This is not the first time that that message came to such people as this. When John the Baptist began to preach, he stated both to the scribes and Pharisees and the multitude, all of them together, leaders and the people, calling them a generation of vipers. Vipers. Where do vipers come from? Serpents. Christ also described them that way. Over and over, he calls them hypocrites a number of times. And he says, you serpents, you vipers. If they were free, free from sin, free from the bondage of it, the terribleness of its power and its penalty that would come from God to them, then they wouldn't be any longer vipers. They wouldn't be guilty in this, but they were. Jesus gives it very plain teaching when he says, verily, verily, I say unto whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. They had said, and it's recorded in verse 33, they answered, we be Abraham's seed. Many thought, being Abraham's seed, they were favored of God in such a way that they were born like Abraham, that they were free when they were born, free from guilt. They were different than others. And over, we can read that, we be Abraham's seed. God did make wonderful promises to Abraham. God did make promises to Abraham's seed. Said, I'll be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee, and give thee the land in which thou dwellest. That was for all of Abraham's physical seed. Also, there are other seeds that are described. One of the wonderful promises that God gave to Abraham was, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That is, as Paul said later to the Galatians, to Abram was the gospel preached. And Paul also says in that third chapter of Galatians, not to seeds as of many, but seeds as of one, which is Christ. And then later in that chapter, he says to all of us, to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews, if You be Christ. You belong to Christ. You have Christ. You know that he had to die for you. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is the way to have that eternal relationship with Abraham, through Christ, not through natural birth. That's why Nicodemus, who was as much a seed of Abraham as anybody else, was told, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born into Abram's physical seed, born into the nation of Israel, but they could not see the kingdom of God. And they certainly showed it in all their unbelief, and were described as could not enter the land of Canaan when they were brought out of Egypt because of unbelief. They did not see God's ways, and particularly not God's salvation that was made so plainly spoken of when they came out of Egypt, when God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," and gave them already before Abraham's time, gave them the sacrifices to Adam, to Abraham, Noah, and then in a very particular and special way to the Israelites, to the seed of Abraham, the seed of Jacob or Israel. God gave them very close direction how to offer these sacrifices. Abel had done this before this, and we read of Abel, he, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, was a murderer. He killed his brother, jealous, because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. But now these people, set aside as a nation, and were promised the land. Also, when Paul asked, "What profit is there in circumcision? What advantage then hath the Jew?" He says, "Much every way to them were committed the oracles of God." After God took them out of Egypt, he directed Moses to write what we have in what we call the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had that. In the early history of Israel, they had more than that later, from Samuel, David, Isaiah, and other prophets that were added to what we call the Old Testament. But having those words, if they did not have the new birth, if they did not have repentance and a knowledge of sin, would not set them free. They had to learn that word in its fullness. Sometimes it's described, as also Paul spoke of in Galatians chapter 3, not only speaking of to Abram was the gospel preached, giving that wonderful promise also in Galatians 3:17, the covenant of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. God's law demands perfect love to God, to our neighbor. If we don't have that, we're guilty. We come under its penalty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's our only relationship with God, is through his law. It's death. We've earned it. We have those wages coming. Some have already received them. One man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. But when Paul says the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, he was referring to the covenant of God in Christ, the covenant of God made with Abraham, repeating those words, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." These people here could be blessed with Abraham through Christ, not the natural birth, not being in any one of the tribes. Even as Paul said later, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, but I count all these things but dung, that I might win Christ. Then going back to Galatians 3, we also read in that chapter, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law that these people thought they kept. The law that many people today think we keep. I've heard people say, I've loved the Lord all my life. The truth is, I haven't loved God as I should in any part of my life. Not even as children of God. Paul says, I have not yet attained to that for which I've been apprehended. And again, his cry was, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We may believe that Paul said that after being a Christian a number of years, writing that to the Philippians, chapter 3. Here, these people didn't know they were in bondage to sin. Often, when we think of John chapter 3, I mentioned the scripture from that a moment ago, the 14th verse, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Then he gives that wonderful verse in John 3:16, that probably many know as well as any other part of scripture, but then he goes on to say more. That we have to continue in, that we have to learn, that we have to know before John 3:14 or John 3:16 will be of what we know we really need. And that is, as those following verses state, that Christ spoke to Nicodemus and recorded there, John recorded them. Men love darkness rather than light. And then, even a stronger statement, everyone that does evil hates the light. And it was proved. A number of years later, there was those that hated the light so much, they wanted Christ crucified, and they obtained their terrible objective. These same people. We can see them with their hatred here. The end of the chapter tells us, they took up stones to cast at him. They mocked him, they ridiculed him, first described as believing on him, but not believing as the sinners they were. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as a lost sinner, a guilty sinner?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.